what is a prophet in the Hebrew? It's N-A-B-I, but you say it with a V, so it's Navi. One who proclaims or tells a message he has received. A spokesman. It's used over 300 times in the Old Testament and usually refers to Yahweh's commissioned spokesman. Sometimes it can refer to a false prophet, someone who's not hearing from God. It can refer to women. There's that same word in the Hebrew. It can be a woman prophetess. In the Greek, the word is prophetes. So it comes from the pro, forth, and femi, to speak. A prophet, therefore, is primarily a forth teller, one who speaks forth a divine message. The message can at times can include forthtelling future events, but doesn't always have to be. Among the Greeks, the prophet was the interpreter of the divine will, and this idea is dominant in biblical usage. Prophets are therefore specifically endowed with insights into the counsels of the Lord and serve as his spokesman. A lot of words there, but are we making sense what a prophet is, according to just the dictionary of Hebrew and Greek? Like I said, I can go into a whole bunch of more of defining that. I'm going to barely scratch this surface, and you could do a whole nother. I could probably write a 40-page sermon on this. What's the difference between an Old Testament prophet and a New Testament prophet? Well, the definition we just read, they both would qualify. Someone who is a messenger from the Lord. Someone who hears from the Lord and speaks on the Lord's behalf. And so that's true of Old Testament and New Testament. Someone who is intimate with the Lord, has a relationship. It's not just out of the blue. It's someone that has this ongoing relationship with the Lord that knows and feels the heartbeat of the Father. And so you see that in the Old Testament, you see that in the New Testament. And I like the end of that translation where it says, or definition, endowed with insights from the counsels of the Lord. And so that's true of Old Testament, New Testament. They both serve in a leadership role in the Old Testament, New Testament. They both are to serve the people, but there is a place of leadership that our prophets are supposed to be given in the Old Testament and New Testament. There's some differences, and I'm just going to highlight one. And this verse I'm going to read to you, you say, how in the world does that talk about differences? I'll get there in a second. Matthew 5:43, Jesus says this. You've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. All right, that's a great message all in of itself, right? We're supposed to pray for our enemies, love those who come against us. Jesus says that. We've heard some of that before. How is that talking about prophecy? Well, Jesus is saying, you've heard it said, love your neighbors and hate your enemies. What is Jesus talking about? He's actually quoting from the Old Testament law and prophets. I don't have time to go through all of it, but Ezra 9:11, let me read you this one verse. You command, this is Ezra talking to people, but he's talking to the Lord. You commanded by your servants, the prophets, saying, the land which you are entering to possess is an unclean land, with the uncleanness of the peoples of the lands, with their abominations which have filled it from one end to another with their impurity. Now therefore, do not give your daughters as wives for their sons, nor take their daughters to your sons. Never seek their peace or prosperity. According to the prophets, according to the Old Testament law, the Israelites, as they moved into the promised land, it was filled with all this impurity, all these abominations, all these wicked people. And the Lord commanded them, do not seek their prosperity or peace. Don't intermarry with them. Have nothing to do with them. If you read the Old Testament, right? When they would go in, they would kill, right? They would kill men, women, even children, even the animals. They would kill everything. This is how the Lord commanded, how the prophets would say these things. The law commanded it. The prophets would speak judgment against the people that were enemies of the Lord. And so you see the Old Testament, they would speak judgment. They would prophesy judgment. Jesus, as the prophet, he brings in a new covenant, a new testament. And he says, you heard it said in the Old Testament, in the law and the prophets, to love your neighbors and to hate your enemies. He says, but I give you a new law. According to the new covenant, you must love your enemies. You must do good to those who hate you. You must pray for those who spitefully use you. He's saying it's a new law. He's saying I overrule, as the prophet, I overrule the Old Testament law and prophets. I'm making a new covenant, a new testament. You've heard it said this is the way it used to be, but no, in the New Testament, this is how it is. So an Old Testament prophet would speak forth judgment, condemnation over enemies. A New Testament prophet does not speak judgment, does not condemn the body of Christ. A New Testament prophet, as we read all throughout Scripture, we read it in Ephesians, right? What are the fivefold gifts for? It's a gift to the church to do what? To build up, to encourage, to edify, to equip the saints. Not to tear down. You read through 1 Corinthians 14. It talks all about prophecy, how prophecy is there to encourage, to build up, to edify, all those same words, that prophecy is there to build up. So a New Testament prophet is there to build, not to tear down. Now, New Testament can give a warning, can say, if this, then this is going to happen. That can happen. But it's not to speak that. It's not to try to make that happen. It's saying, the Lord is saying, you better not go down that road. Because if you do, this might, it's foretelling. This could happen to you. The Lord's saying, this will happen to you. It's not judgment saying, this is what's going to happen to you no matter what. It's just a warning. And so I want you to understand, there is a difference between Old Testament prophets and New Testament prophets. There's still the office that's the same in the Old Testament, New Testament. I believe there is an office of a prophet in the New Testament. You see it all through Scripture, and we went through it last week, right? How there's apostles, other than the 12, other than Paul. There was over about 20-something references to other apostles in the New Testament. Prophets, you see that all over the place. You see prophetesses in the New Testament. It's not just men, it's women. You see it's there. It's present for the New Testament, for the church age. We're still living in the New Testament. We're still living in the church age, so it's here, the office. All right, there's probably more I could say on that, but I'm going to move on. The office of a prophet, there's a difference between office of a prophet and prophecy. That Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 14, it says in verse 1, it says that you can all prophesy one by one. Is it verse 1? Let me see, find out where it is, because I want to give you the right reference. I know it's 14. Nope, the very end of the chapter, not the first verse, it's the last verse. You can all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be encouraged. There you go, you have another definition. 1 Corinthians 14:31. You can all prophesy that all may be encouraged, that all may be edified, that all may learn something new of what God is saying to you. So there's this idea that not all of us are prophets. Moses said back in Numbers, let's see if I can find that one. Yeah, Numbers 11:29. Moses said, oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon all of them. Moses' desire was that everyone would be able to speak prophecy, even in the Old Testament, not just the New Testament. Moses was saying, man, I wish everyone could hear from the Lord and speak on his behalf to other people. So this is something that's in God's heart. But in the Old Testament, there's an office, and it just kind of followed the office. The Holy Spirit would come upon one person at a time. And so you would see that. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit, day of Pentecost, came out, right? And so the New Testament, the Holy Spirit's upon all of us. What Moses just said, I wish the Holy Spirit was on all of them. He is now in the New Testament age. And so we can all have this ability to prophesy, according to 1 Corinthians 14:31. The first verse in 14 says, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So to me, it's saying that, okay, we all have the ability to grow in this. But do you have a desire to? Do you want to prophesy? Because you can desire it and grow in it. You can't desire the office of a prophet and then say, God, really give it to me, and then get that office. No, God gives and he calls those whom he wants to call. The office, I did not ask to be a pastor. I went to Bible college. I knew the Lord was calling me to some type of ministry, but I never knew, really, in all of my Bible studies, out of graduated college, I had no idea I was going to be the pastor of Osmond River Church. That was never a thought in my mind. But I do believe that God has called me to be the pastor here. That's a calling from the Lord. That's not something I can desire and then get. That's a calling from the Lord. But I can desire spiritual gifts. There's a difference between the office and the gifting. And so we can all desire prophecy. We can all desire to hear from the Lord and to encourage other people. And he's saying in 1 Corinthians, desire him. In fact, he says it again at the very end. Verse 31 was not the last verse. 39 says, desire earnestly to prophesy. Paul is saying, man, I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more so, that you all prophesied. Because it's for the building up of the whole church. When you speak in a new language, it can be for your own edification. But when you prophesy, it's for the whole church. It's that everyone else benefits from that gift. And so Paul is saying, man, it's on the heels. You remember 1 Corinthians 13? 1 Corinthians 12 goes through all the gifts of the Spirit. Then 1 Corinthians 13 is what? About what? Love, the love chapter. Says that's more important than prophecy. It's more important than all those things is that we love. That's the most important thing. And that's right in between chapters 12 and 14. But then he gets back to it in verse 1 of 14. He says, you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. So he's saying, all right, here's these spiritual gifts. You can have them if you desire them earnestly. Do you want to prophesy? He's not going to make you do it. But do you want to? And so there is a difference there. And there's a lot more I was going to say on that, but I feel like I'm supposed to move on. Sunday school trivia.
I am looking for a right answer, but I'll let you give me whatever you think. Who is one of the greatest prophets to ever live in the Old Testament? Elijah. That's the answer I was looking for. There's a lot of great prophets. Elijah's the one I'm... Who appeared to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration? Moses and Elijah. Moses, for Jews, Moses represents the law. Elijah represents the prophets, all the books, the major and minor prophets. It's just one of those things. Elijah is seen, I don't know if you guys remember, years and years ago, I gave a sermon about Mount of Transfiguration. I talked about how for little Jewish boys, thousands of years ago, Jesus' day, that they didn't wear Superman underwear. They wore Moses or Elijah underwear, right? Those were the superheroes back then. And so that's who Elijah is. He's one of those superheroes. And so I'm trying to decide. I don't think I have time to read it. But this really is your homework. This for sure is your homework. If you want to research, that's on your own on different things I'm talking about. But really, this is your homework. I want you to read 1 Kings 17, verse 1 through 16. I don't have time to read it and get to where I want right now. So I'm going to trust that you're going to read on your own, and I'm going to recap. But 1 Kings 17 is a story about Elijah the prophet. And he goes to the king, King Ahab, and he prophesies, it's not going to rain for years and years and years, at least 3 years. It's not going to rain until I come before you again, and I'm going to tell you it's going to rain. But until I come back and tell you it's going to rain, it's not going to rain. And so, sure enough, it doesn't rain. And the Lord gives a word to Elijah, and he says, go out into the wilderness to this brook. And when you go there, I'm going to have ravens come and feed you. They're going to bring bread and meat to you every day. And so Elijah goes, and he lives all by himself out in the wilderness. He lives by the brook, gets water from the brook, and eats, and he's there. We don't know how long. The Bible doesn't say how long. I'm just throwing out there probably a year. He's there for a long time. The famine, it doesn't rain. Famine's going out throughout the land. Sure enough, because it's not raining, the brook dries up. There's no more water. Elijah heard from the Lord. He heard a prophetic word. He knew he was a prophet. He knew how to hear God's voice. And God told him to go live by the brook. The brook dried up. Elijah could have said, well, I'm staying here no matter what. I'm staying here. The Lord said to come here. I'm staying here no matter what. He could have said, I'm just going to chew on these rocks, see if there's any moisture in here. No, but what he did is he said, I need a new word from the Lord. Circumstances have changed. I can't survive with the situations right now. So God, I need a word from you. I need to hear from you. So he sought the Lord. And sure enough, God gave him another word. God spoke to Elijah. He said, all right, I want you to leave that brook. I want you to go into the village. And when you go to the village, you're going to find a widow. And she is going to provide for you. So Elijah says, all right. So he packs up his things, walks into the village. Sure enough, he finds this widow gathering sticks. And he goes to the widow and he says, can you please go get me a cup of water? She says, sure. And so she starts walking away to get a cup of water. And as she's walking away, he says, oh, and something to eat. Can you bring me some bread? She stops in her tracks. She turns around and says, I swear to you, as the Lord lives, I have no bread. You caught me while I was gathering sticks to go home and make a fire so that I could take the last little bit of oil and the last little pinchful of flour I had to make a cake for my son and I that we would eat it and then die because I have nothing left. Really quick, Elijah could have looked at the situation and said, oh, I found the wrong widow. Sorry, my bad. He could have said, oh, shoot, maybe I heard God wrong. Maybe it wasn't a widow, or maybe it wasn't this village. But do you see, because Elijah had intimacy with God, he knew something was up. He knew his provision was not in her resources. His provision was not in the circumstances. His provision was in the word of the Lord. God said, go to the village and this widow will provide for you. The provision was in the word. Some of us need to hear that. That your provision is not in your circumstances. It's not in your current resources. It's in the word of the Lord. Elijah, because he's in intimacy with God, because he knows he can see the situation, he says, all right, what I want you to do, lady, go home, make that cake, and bring it to me so that I can eat it. What? And he says, go do that, and after I eat it, you're going to have enough flour and oil to last you until this famine is over with. He prophesies. It doesn't say that God told him to do that. It says that he heard from the word of the Lord, this widow is going to provide for you. And he sees the resources, and he says, there's no way this is going to happen. This can't happen in the natural. But God said so. So he partnered with God and he prophesied, you are going to be my provision. What you do have is going to be enough. And he partnered with this lady, said, are you willing to partner with me as a man of God? Are you willing to trust me and not eat your last meal, but give it to me instead? He prophesied. See, Elijah could have complained. He could have walked in that circumstance, said, see, God, what's wrong with you? You picked the wrong thing. You took me out of the brook where it all dried up, and then you brought me here, and there's no food, there's no provision. Man, this stinks. But Elijah didn't complain. He prophesied. How many of us are living in circumstances with limited resources where things look horrible that God has engineered those circumstances for us to prophesy, and instead we're complaining? I'm guilty. I'm not the only one in this room. I know that for a fact. Some of us were in circumstances that God engineered on purpose. He brought us there. It's his plan. And we're walking around complaining. There's not enough. I picked the wrong widow. I'm going to die. Everything's wrong. And he's saying, child, would you hear the word of the Lord? And would you partner with me? And would you prophesy? Would you speak life? Would you see those dry bones and say, they can live? He wants us to prophesy. He wants us to be prophetic. You see that in Moses, who was the friend of God. You see that in Paul. These are probably the most two intimate men with the Lord in the Old Testament and New Testament. And they're saying, man, I wish everyone could prophesy. And they're not saying just because I wish they could say these big thus thou, he, they, talking King James verbiage. He's saying, no, I wish that everybody had intimacy with God, that you know how to hear his voice, that when you walk in circumstances, you're not rocked, but you know that God is up to something. And you begin to say it and declare. See, I didn't get to this. Prophets, they have three different types of vision. They have insight, foresight, and oversight. Insight. A prophet can sometimes, you might have one more than the other, but a prophet, insight, it's like a microscope. In talking to somebody, a prophet can look right beyond the facade. And like a microscope, get down to that cellular level and look into the person's heart and see deep down inside what's going on in there. And hear from the Lord to say, this is what you need to speak to this person. Don't worry about all the junk that's coming out of their mouth. This is what they need to hear. That's insight. Foresight, we talked about, is forthtelling. And sometimes people have ridiculed people in the church today that are trying to prophesy and say, this is the word of the Lord. This is what's going to happen in this person's life, and it doesn't happen. It's not that they heard wrong. They see what God wants to do in that situation. And they're partnering with what God's heart is, and they're saying, I prophesy. I say this is going to happen. But see, we still have free will. That person can still decide to walk into that situation and say, that lady only has one meal left. Ah, forget it, I'm just going to die. That's up to that person. But a prophet's going to say, no, 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 you have all that you need with that widow. Oversight is like a helicopter. You can see the big picture. You're not just stuck in all the details that you say, no, I'm going to step back and I'm going to wait on the Lord and I have a word that this is what's going to happen in this situation. This is going to happen over our nation. A bigger picture. Prophets can have different visions. I'm telling you, oh man, there's so much I want to say right now, but the fivefold ministry, that we need teachers, we need pastors, we need evangelists. But without pastors, without prophets giving vision, giving guidance and hearing from the Lord, and without apostles giving governing, giving order, giving structure, the church is in a heap of trouble. We need leadership. We need apostles or people with those giftings to say, all right, like Zan, that are willing to step in. I'm not saying that she's an apostle, but she's willing to take on those types of giftings and say, I'm going to help bring governing and order and structure to this church. We need to have people that are willing to step into prophetic roles and hear from the Lord and declare things over our church. This is what the Lord says. This is what I say is going to happen because I'm hearing God's heartbeat. Yes, we still have an opportunity to obey the Lord or not, and it might not happen, but if we partner with that, I'm saying, so many things running through my head. You guys heard it before in Proverbs, right? For lack of vision, the people perish. In other translations, for lack of revelation. Or spiritual insight or prophetic words, the people perish. Without having vision, without hearing from the Lord and speaking that out over someone's church, over someone's life, the people are wandering and scattered and they're cast off restraint. They're going to perish. Nothing's going to happen. The church is not going to grow. Without you having a prophetic word in your own personal life, you're going to perish. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I wholeheartedly believe that we need to get in God's word. We need to study it. We need to memorize it. It needs to be in our daily routine to get in God's word. But if we're not getting a rhema word, a fresh word that's specific to me, if I'm just reading things for you guys, if I'm just reading things just to puff up knowledge, it does me no good. I need a word that proceeds from the mouth of God coming into my life to give me vision, to give me direction. I believe, yes, how did Jesus, when did Jesus say those words, right? He quoted from the Old Testament, he quoted scripture, when he's being tempted, right? He defeated the devil with the written word. But I'd like to give you maybe a fresh perspective. What happened right before he went into the wilderness? He was baptized. What happened when he came up out of the water? The Holy Spirit descended upon him, and what else happened? The Trinity. God the Father spoke a word for all to hear. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I wholeheartedly, this is your pastor. It doesn't mean this is true for everybody, but this is my interpretation. That Jesus needed that prophetic word to hear a word from the Father to say, I belong to my daddy and he's pleased with me. That he needed that word before he went into the wilderness. He needed a prophetic word to hold on to. That when provisions were not there, 40 days with no food, and he felt the atrophy, he felt weak, and he didn't know if he was going to survive. My provision is not in circumstances I see around, having no more bread, no more water. I know that I'm my Father's son, and he's pleased in me. So he's going to take care of me. He's going to provide. I don't have to worry. That when the devil tempts him, why don't you jump off the temple mount and call angels to catch you? I don't have to perform. I don't have to do anything to make my daddy love me, to please him. He's pleased about me, who I am right now, without doing anything for him. That Jesus, why did he leave heaven? He came to earth to get the keys of the kingdom. He came because the enemy was the prince of the power of the air. He was having control. He says, I got to get that back. And the enemy says, all right, Jesus, let's stop playing games. You don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to do the next 3 years of ministry. You don't have to reveal who you are to everybody. I'll just give you the keys right now. Let's just get it over with. I'll give you the keys. Just bow down and worship me, and I'll give you the keys. And Jesus is saying, no, you don't understand. I know who I am, and I have a purpose. It's here to please the Father. It's not to please myself. My desire is to take those keys from you right now, but not my will, my Father's will. Above everything else, all the other desires in my heart, I just want to please my dad. And he just prophetically declared that I am pleasing to him. I believe that Jesus was holding on to that word from the Father. And that's what gave him vision. That's how he didn't perish in the wilderness. That some of us, we need a word from the Lord. Some of you need to hear, like Elijah and the widow, to stop looking at what you don't have and look at what little bit you do have. God's not interested in what you don't have. He could care less what you don't have. He's not thinking about what you don't have. He's extremely interested in what you do have. Are you willing to give that to him? Because little is much in the hands of God. That is God's job to multiply. It's not your job to multiply. I've said it before, what's the greatest ability in the kingdom of God? Availability. Wow. That's the greatest ability. God, here I am. I got nothing. How many times have I told you that I feel like I'm that little boy bringing 2 fish and 5 loaves on a Sunday morning? God, what I prepared, I don't know how that's going to feed everybody. It seems small. It seems inappropriate. It doesn't seem qualified. But God, I submit it to you. I'm going to bring the little bit I have. And God, would you multiply? Would you perform a miracle? Do you know that if that little boy's mother would have packed chicken and waffles in his basket, 5,000 people that day would have eaten what for lunch? Chicken and waffles. Because what did Jesus do? Did Jesus perform a miracle out of nothing? Did he say, I'm just going to poof, bring fish and loaves out of nothing? No, he can do that. He did it in Genesis, right? What God is saying to you this morning is, he doesn't want to just do poof out of nothing. He wants to take the little bit you have. See, without God, you can't. But without you, God will not. I need to hear that word. Some of you need to hear that word this morning. Without God, apart from God, I can do nothing. But God is saying he will not. If we're not willing to take the little bit we have and give it over to him, then I'm not going to touch it. I'm not going to bless it. If you're just going to complain about your circumstances and you're not going to prophesy, nothing's going to happen. Nothing miraculous is going to happen. But if you choose to see that little bit and prophesy, God, this is what your word says. I'm going to hold on to your promises. This is what I'm going to declare, the truth of your word. And as you begin to stand on those things, God say, I can partner with that. I can multiply that. I can do miracles with that. I gotta wrap things up. Some of you, you need a prophetic word from the Lord. I'll be real honest. This church needs some more prophetic words over our church. There's some things I'm declaring over this church. There's some things we can declare over our nation. I'll put it this way. Do you have a prophetic word for your own life? Do you have a prophetic word that you're declaring over your family? Do you have a prophetic word you're declaring over this church? The Lord wants to give you one. He wants all of us to prophesy. He wants all of us to hear from him and declare the word of the Lord. That's his desire. But are we earnestly desiring the best gifts? As we close the service, I do believe that some of the things I'm saying this morning, they were prophetic words for some of you this morning. But I believe the Lord wants to speak a word in some of your lives. We spent some time in ministry during the beginning of worship. I believe we're supposed to end with another worship song. And you can come forward to get a word, hopefully, from the Lord. If it's just a scripture, maybe it's not a profound thing that's going to change your whole life, but maybe it is. Maybe today, God wants to tell you to get out of that brook that's dried up and go into the village and find the widow. Maybe God wants to give you a new word. Maybe God wants to tell you, you're already there, you're with the widow, and you're complaining about the little bit that you have. And God's saying it's time to prophesy and to speak hope into life, into your situation. My desire as your pastor is that we would be a prophetic church. Is that any time we come together and gather, that it can't help but break out. Where people are loving on each other, encouraging each other, giving words of affirmation, having scripture just all of a sudden come into my mind and say, man, I got to share this word with you. It happened in the middle of me preparing yesterday. I was reading it's a scripture I didn't even use. I was reading through it and like, oh, someone came to mind, texted them. Hey, I read this verse, thought of you. That was prophesied. It wasn't this big, huge thing. It was just hearing from the Lord and a person coming to mind, oh, I should share that with him. Let me text him. And encourage that person, right? That's what prophecy is, building up, encouraging, edifying, giving them a word from God for them. We can all do that. We can all prophesy. That's my desire, is that we become a prophetic church, that we all learn to prophesy. We all learn to speak encouragement. So, as we close the service, would you stand? I'm going to have the leadership again come forward, and we got another worship song that's going to play in the background. But I'm going to pray before we play that song. If you need to respond, you feel the Holy Spirit. In fact, just close your eyes. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you right now? I believe the Word of God is here this morning. That he is speaking. He already has spoken, and he is speaking right now. What is he saying to you personally? Is there something you need to respond to? Are you in a dry and weary land where there's no water? And you need to be refreshed. that the presence of God seems far from you. Don't leave. We want to pray with you. We want to enter into the Holy of Holies with you. I would encourage you, just respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. So as we sing this last worship song, if you need to respond, that's great. After the song, you're dismissed. You're free to go. But God, I thank you. I thank you that today, Lord God, it's your day. You've been having freedom to do what you want during worship, during ministry time, during the Word. God, I pray that you would have freedom in each one of our hearts, God. That where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I declare that in the name of Jesus, there is freedom in individual hearts right now to respond to you, Jesus. To declare love and devotion to you. To say that we need you, Jesus. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Speak to us. We want to hear you. In Jesus' name. Amen.